What if the 2003 Northeast blackout wasn't just some cascading grid failure, but a scheduled cover-up for a subterranean war? Or, what if the financial crises you've lived through weren't just market bubbles, but carefully engineered harvests? Welcome to today's deep dive. We are opening up a massive, frankly, reality-bending document today.
We really are.
Yeah, it's the Great Awakening Reports, Awakening the Sleeping Giant weekly report for the week of June 8th. And our mission today is to map out the signals, the patterns, and the threads currently unfolding in our world. But we are explicitly stepping far outside the lens of mainstream news to understand the unique alternative narratives driving this specific report.
Right. And before we pull back the curtain on any of this, we need to set some firm ground rules.
Absolutely.
This report contains highly alternative, politically charged claims from a wide variety of viewpoints. So I want to make it crystal clear to you listening, neither of us is taking sides here.
Not at all.
We're not endorsing these viewpoints, and we are certainly not validating the factual accuracy of the claims. Our mission today is strictly impartial. We're here to unpack and convey these ideas exactly as they're presented in the source material, just to understand the architecture of this very specific worldview.
That is exactly the mindset we need. We've got our explorer hats on. Because, the value here isn't necessarily in agreeing with what's on the page. It's in understanding how massive groups of people are currently interpreting reality and connecting the dots.
Exactly.
I will say the information we're covering is incredibly dense, but we're going to keep things upbeat and break it down logically. And by the way, if you are listening to this on the go, checking out the report's audio reviews is another fantastic way to consume this exact content.
It's a great format for this kind of density.
Yeah, for sure. So let's start with what the authors call the updated signal brief. The foundational signal right now, according to their framework, is this multi-theater conflict expansion. They specifically point to the diplomatic breakdown between Iran and Israel and massive maritime friction in the Strait of Hormuz.
Right. And what's fascinating here is their reading of this geopolitical tension. They make a sharp distinction regarding military acceleration. The narrative laid out here suggests we've moved way past simple adaptation or reaction.
Okay, so what are we in now?
They emphasize that governments are no longer just putting out fires. They're in a state of active escalation management. We're seeing global military assets moving, energy infrastructure being hardened, not as a precaution, but as preparation for an inevitable shift.
It sounds like watching a really elaborate game of Jenga where multiple blocks are being pulled at once, because the report uses this phrase, synchronized pressure. And reading through it, I asked myself, is this intentional design or just a coincidental cascading failure? Because it feels like a plane crashing. You don't crash just because an engine fails. You crash because the engine fails, which cuts the hydraulic lines, which, shorts out the backup battery.
That is the perfect analogy for how they view systemic risk. The text notes that the global system remains operational on the surface, right? Cargo ships are moving, stock markets are trading.
Sure.
But the margin supporting that functionality continues narrowing. The true risk isn't one isolated crisis. It's the simultaneous interaction of multiple pressure systems, military, economic, logistical, all demanding resources at the exact same time.
Till it just snaps.
Exactly. Until the effort required to maintain baseline stability just becomes too great.
And honestly, nowhere is that vanishing margin more obvious than in energy security. They point out that global oil inventories are hitting what they term tank bottoms. Like, the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve is draining to levels we haven't seen since the 1980s. But the thing that really caught my eye was their breakdown of California.
Oh, the diesel situation.
Yes, they outline this completely self-inflicted diesel crisis, warning it could hit $10 a gallon, basically turning the state into an isolated energy island. But how does a state with that much infrastructure just run out of fuel?
Well, it comes down to the mechanics of supply chains and maritime law. The authors highlight a combination of climate policies forcing local refinery closures, which obviously reduces domestic supply. But the real bottleneck is the expiring Jones Act waiver.
Remind me, the Jones Act, that's the shipping one, right?
Yeah, it's a century-old law requiring that goods shipped between two U.S. ports have to be transported on American-built, American-flagged vessels.
Okay.
A waiver previously allowed foreign tankers to ship essential fuel from the Gulf Coast directly to California. But with that waiver gone and a major shortage of compliant U.S. ships, the physical mechanism to deliver fuel simply isn't there. It doesn't matter how much money you throw at it.
Wow. So an administrative rule just completely blocks the pipeline.
Exactly.
That perfectly connects the global stage directly to your wallet, your daily life. Because if we look at the resource fragility they outline next, it is staggering.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about water. The Ogalla Aquifer, which supplies about 30% of US irrigation.
That's massive.
Right. And apparently it's dying. The text notes it's already lost a volume of water roughly equivalent to the entirety of Lake Erie.
And that environmental baseline is compounded by looming meteorological threats, too. The authors point to a developing Godzilla El Nino alongside a 9,000-mile marine heat wave in the North Pacific.
9,000 miles, that's hard to even picture.
I know. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the report warns that these overlapping anomalies could devastate the four crops responsible for 60% of global calories: wheat, rice, maize, and soybeans.
So what does this all mean? Because you have food and fuel under massive physical strain, and then you look at the economic reality for the average family, the numbers they cite in the report are just brutal.
They really are.
The average monthly mortgage has jumped 44% to over $2,000. But shockingly, the average American family pays even more, like $2,200 a month just for health insurance. Add to that the societal toll. One in three American men are now out of the workforce entirely.
Yeah.
So are they saying our leaders are just incredibly incompetent?
No, and that is the pivotal insight of this entire document. The report uses these very real, tangible economic pain points to set the stage for its larger argument. They argue the system isn't just failing under stress or incompetence. They argue it's being intentionally harvested.
Harvested. Okay, so we're moving from what is failing to who is pulling the strings.
Exactly.
Because if you believe they can manipulate something as vast as the global economy, the logical question is how deep does it go? And they make this historical claim that every major war in the last 200 years was funded by the exact same banking networks.
Like the Rothschild family, yes.
Right, backing both sides of the conflict simultaneously.
The operative concept here is conflict sustainability. In this framework, the objective of these wars was never decisive victory. The goal is duration. They outline a model of endless, managed conflict that has allegedly resulted in a $21 trillion wealth transfer just since 2001.
21 trillion.
Yeah. War is reframed from a political tool into a highly optimized business model.
But I mean, the historical claims go so much further than just banking. They actually tackle the sinking of the Titanic,
They do.
which is wild. The document claims the ship at the bottom of the ocean isn't the Titanic at all. It's the damaged sister ship, the Olympic, swapped out for a massive insurance payout. But more importantly, they frame this as a targeted assassination.
Right, to eliminate opposition.
Yeah, they point out that Astor, Guggenheim, and Strauss, three of the wealthiest opponents to the creation of a private central bank, all died on that ship. The very next year, 1913, the Federal Reserve was created.
It is the ultimate example of how this specific worldview operates. Chaos or tragedy is always viewed as a smokescreen for a calculated hidden objective.
Okay, let's unpack this because I have to push back on the logistics here. How do you physically swap the two most massive ships in the world without thousands of Belfast dock workers noticing? I mean, how does the report justify that scale of secrecy?
Well, the theory rests on the fact that the Olympic and the Titanic were virtually identical, built side by side. The Olympic had been in a collision and was deemed uninsurable.
Okay.
According to this narrative, when both ships were docked together, the company simply swapped the nameplates, the stationery, a few internal fixtures. The workforce wouldn't know the corporate strategy, right? They were just following orders to refit components. It's a prime example of compartmentalization.
Compartmentalized labor. Okay, so the authors claim this centuries-old architecture of control is actively being dismantled right now. They point to Trump as evidence of a counterwar.
Yes, dismantling the old paradigm.
They bring up Bill Pult, a housing guy, being moved to acting director of national intelligence, which sounds weird, right? Why a housing guy? But the report says it's to use his financial forensics on mortgage files to track the hidden finances of political enemies.
Exactly. Because you want to find illicit money, you don't look at bank accounts. You look at real estate portfolios and shell companies holding property. They also cite a new AI executive order.
Right, the 30-day window.
Yeah, it supposedly forces AI companies to give the government a 30-day pre-access window to any new model.
But how does a 30-day window actually do anything? AI companies update stuff constantly.
Think about code deployment. If intelligence has a 30-day head start on a foundational model, they have time to hardwire an inescapable dragnet into its base code. The text frames this as the deliberate construction of a prosecution system designed to read every encrypted message the AI ever interacts with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And add to that a claimed secret face-to-face meeting between Trump and Iran's Khamenei to quietly redraw the global map.
And even Bitcoin is woven into this. The recent crypto crash. The authors argue it wasn't a market correction. It was a controlled harvest. Institutional players dumped assets to wipe out retail investors, which allegedly allowed the U.S. government to fill a strategic Bitcoin reserve with seized assets before a big July reveal.
In this paradigm, nothing is random. The text frames current events as a transition period. Leaks, market anomalies, bureaucratic shuffling. These are visible exhaust fumes from an invisible engine.
Which sets up their concept of the scripted reality. Because if markets are orchestrated theater, the narrative suggests our physical health and public crises are scripted as well. They literally call it the movie.
The idea that global events are a high-density theatrical production. For example, global virus outbreaks like the new Ebola Bundibugyo strain and monkeypox, they claim these are actually scripted scare events.
That's scripted by who?
According to the text, managed by White Hats and the Galactic Ancestral Alliance, or GAA.
Wait, Galactic? Okay. And the purpose is to wake up sleepers.
Yes, to break them out of old programming. You can't just tell a population they've been manipulated. You have to show them through extreme scenarios.
It's a massive recontextualization of fear. But they also detail incredibly dark parallel systems operating out of sight, like organ transplants. The authors claim the public waitlist is pure theater.
They cite allegations that a parallel black market exists, where pristine organs go to the highest bidder via private jets.
And the source of these organs is what's truly terrifying. The text claims they harvest them on demand using disaster zones, like the 2010 Haiti earthquake. The narrative claims fake medical teams with refrigerated transport arrived within 72 hours just to systematically harvest organs from undocumented victims.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, maintaining our impartial stance, the report is building an alternate reality framework where chaos is always a smokescreen for hidden action. And they apply this exact logic to infrastructure, too.
Right, like unexplained blackouts. The 2003 Northeast blackout or the 2021 Texas freeze, the authors claim these weren't grid failures. They were scheduled electromagnetic silence.
To cover for massive underground military operations, clearing out deep bases.
But taking down a power grid for 55 million people just to mask an operation seems insanely inefficient. Why not just build quieter drills?
Because it's not about acoustic noise. It's about electromagnetic signatures. The claim is the military uses advanced plasma boring machines.
Mm-hmm.
The energy output generates massive electromagnetic pulses. If the civilian grid were active, those pulses would fry transformers and register on seismographs.
Oh, so killing the grid creates a blind spot.
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. We're peeling back the final layer. The report goes beyond geopolitics and straight into the manipulation of human consciousness. You know, that modern sense of brain fog, like your thoughts are moving through mud.
I think almost everyone feels that digital exhaustion these days.
Well, they claim it's a deliberate program called StillMind, a lithium-sodium chemical deployed in 42 municipal water supplies.
The stated goal of this compound, according to the text, is to act as a psychiatric suppressant, targeting the prefrontal cortex to diminish critical thinking.
But they claim the military stepped in to stop it. They say the Ohio plant was recently shut down, causing residents to suddenly experience sharp mornings and vivid dreams. And if chemicals weren't enough, they detail voice-to-skull or V2K tech.
Based on a 1974 patent for the microwave auditory effect, the report claims this tech now uses 5G networks to beam frequencies into people's skulls.
Frequencies that mimic your own inner dialogue. They're arguing that not every thought in your head is actually yours.
This raises an important question. Even setting aside factual validity, why do these narratives resonate? They offer a concrete explanation for the ambient anxiety and feeling of unreality so many people experience. It's almost more comforting to blame a chemical in the water than the exhausting reality of modern digital burnout.
It gives a deliberate face to the invisible forces. And speaking of invisible, what about the internet? The document claims the internet we use is just a public lobby. A whistleblower supposedly exposed ARPA-7. A parallel, unindexed second internet running since 1977.
With only 147 private terminals for the world's most powerful individuals.
Right. And it allegedly contains the real, unedited history of the world, suppressed patents, actual financial ledgers.
It's the archetypal promise of hidden knowledge.
But the wildest claims involve physical portals. The Bermuda Triangle is allegedly an active dimensional aperture used by the Navy. And CERN, when they found the God particle in 2012, the authors claim it accidentally tore open a multiverse portal.
And that portal communicated a seven-word message.
You were not meant to come here. Just chillin'.
It is a breathtaking scope of claims.
It really is. To wrap up this incredible deep dive, the Great Awakening Report presents a paradigm where absolutely nothing is random. Every signal, from the price of diesel to the thoughts in your head to the fabric of reality at CERN, is part of a grand hidden war.
And navigating this kind of dense information requires balance. It requires discernment to think critically about everything we consume.
Exactly. Approach it with gratitude for the ability to explore these perspectives, discernment to ask questions, and patience as global events unfold. Keep your eyes open and stay upbeat.
The stage is complex and the rigging is everywhere.
It is. And before we go, I want to leave you with a lingering question. Think back to ARPA-7. If a completely separate parallel internet truly existed with the unedited, unvarnished history of the world, would you actually want to log on and see the raw truth? Or is the lobby of our current reality just comfortable enough?